Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me. Lord, teach us to pray, the disciples said. Jesus, recognizing that they had finally asked the right question, said, "When you pray, say this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." But what does that mean, really, to pray that way, to say those words? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A few things. First, I want you to notice that Jesus invites us to pray to our Father, not his Father, but our Father. He's pointing out that we are to not only pray individually, but also to pray together. He's encouraging corporate prayer, like we did just a few moments ago, when we join our prayers and our voices along with the voices in the prayers of others. We are to pray to our Father, which means all of us, which means people sitting next to us in church this morning, people that we share life and faith with, we journey through this life together with, people that we agree with. In many ways, coming together to pray that prayer each week, it unites us, it brings us together. But also, when Jesus invites us to pray that way, he's also talking about the people at that other church over there. People whose faith looks different than ours. People that may even call God by another name. You see, when Jesus says this, he's saying that we are all God's children, all of us, not just Christians, but Jews and Muslims and Hindus. They are all children of God too. And atheists and agnostics, they too, they are children of God, even if they don't know it, even if they don't believe it. When Jesus says that, he's saying that we are all children of God. And I think that's important for us to remember. It's incredibly critical because we live in a world that is increasingly polarized. We become more and more divided every day, and Jesus is reminding us that God is the Father of the people that we disagree with, that we think are wrong. The liberals and the conservatives, the Republicans and the Democrats, we're all children of God. And just like in your home as in mine, you may not always get along and agree with your siblings. But we're still siblings. We're brothers and sisters. We're all children of God. Do you remember in John's Gospel in the 17th chapter, the last night of Jesus' life, he's there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and one of the things that he prays, "God, make them one as you and I are one." You ever wonder why he felt compelled to pray that prayer? Perhaps it's because he knows that we are prone to bicker and fight, to divide, to sometimes even hate each other. And so he prays with what might be his next to last breath, "God, let them be one as you and I are one." And so he invites us to pray to our Father. But he also says that God is our Father. Now, granted, it's not the only way to pray. It's just a pattern. We don't have to address God as the Father when we're praying. But Jesus is teaching us something about how we might address God, maybe how we might approach God in that moment. Now, it's important for us to remember that in the Hebrew Bible, what we oftentimes refer to as the Old Testament,
which was the only Bible that Jesus had, God is almost never, very, very seldom addressed as Father. Usually God is referred to simply as, in the Hebrew, Yahweh. It was the name given to Moses when Moses encountered this burning bush, and he says, recognizing that he's in the presence of the divine, what should I call you? And God says in that moment, I am who I am. Yahweh is the way that is written in Hebrew. Sometimes in the Hebrew scriptures, God is referred to as Elohim, or sometimes shortened just as El. It's sort of the basic generic name for God. It just means sort of like we would say God. Other times God is addressed as Adonai, which means master or ruler, Lord. And when Jesus taught them to pray, he could have said, you know, use one of the hundreds of other combinations of words that are used in the Hebrew scriptures, like El Rawi, which means God who sees, or maybe El Yuri, God who provides. There are hundreds of combinations like that, but yet Jesus says, pray this way, Our Father. Now, it's important for us to remember that Jesus spoke in Aramaic. Now, the Hebrew scriptures is written in Hebrew, the New Testament is written in Greek, but it's commonly believed that Jesus spoke in Aramaic, which is a derivative of Hebrew. And the word that he uses there in Aramaic is the word Abba. And sometimes that's translated as Father, but most scholars, most linguists agree that it's more than that. It's more nuanced than that. It's more familiar. It suggests a more closer, more intimate relationship. You see, when I call my dad, pick up the phone and I call him in California, I don't say, hello, Father. Feels a little formal, feels a little stiff. No, I say, hey, Dad, how are you? It's good to talk to you. How are you? You see, Father feels so formal. Dad feels more familiar. It suggests a different connection. It's more intimate, you might say. That's a better translation of Abba. Now, what we need to make sure that we understand in this moment is that that was revolutionary at the time. That the creator of the world, the ruler of the universe, Jesus says, call him Dad. It's hard for me to overemphasize this enough, but that would have been mind-blowing for those disciples. In fact, the New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says that we cannot underestimate this, that the very first word of the Lord's Prayer contains within it not just an intimacy, but a revolution. It's not just familiarity, it's hope. That the God of the universe, that we could approach in that way, this was revolutionary. It was incredibly hopeful that we could have this intimate, this familiar relationship with God, that God was not a divine being that stood off in the distance, that we spend all of our time trying to please because God otherwise is an angry God. No, God is as close to us. We can approach God as we might approach a parent. Now we need to recognize and state that it's important for us to notice that for some this could be hard. Depending on your relationship with your dad, this might impact your relationship with God. In fact, Roberta Bondi, who's a church historian, professor of church history at Candler Seminary in Atlanta, she says this. She says, I grew up in the 40s and the 50s with a loving but yet an authoritarian and perfectionist father who left our family when I was 11 years old. And like many other people, having transferred to God the Father all of the pain that I felt around my own father, I simply couldn't get past the father language in the Lord's Prayer to reach God. I was hurting so much, she said, and so mistrustful of God. It took her a long time, she says, to be able to understand. And for a while, she needed to use parent language to help her engage this prayer, to begin thinking about the God the Father in the way that Jesus was talking about. One of my mentors in ministry, his name is Dick Wing, and he loves to tell the story about a friend of his that was a chaplain at a group home for children. And many of these children had been removed from their homes and from the life that they knew because of the horrible living situation that they found themselves in. It oftentimes involved neglect or abuse. And one day, this chaplain went to one of the boys that lived there in the group home and asked him if he might lead the Lord's Prayer in their chapel service that morning. He said, "I will do it if I can change one word." The chaplain knew his story about how horrible things were at home. He knew how one night in particular, when things got really bad, his father got drunk again and started beating him again. And it was so bad that he literally feared for his safety. He feared for his life. The neighbors heard the screaming and they called the sheriff, who came in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning to take him away from this hell that had become his life. The boy told him, "He saved me. He rescued me. He promised to protect me, to keep me safe. He told me I wasn't alone. He showed me that everything was going to be okay." And so that morning, as they gathered for devotions, that boy led the Lord's Prayer. And he stood in front of them and he said, "Our sheriff, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Pope Francis has written a book on the Lord's Prayer. And I love how he talks about this. He says, even if you've lost your father, even if you've had no father, or your father was unkind, there are no orphans with God. Did you hear what Paul said a moment ago? That we've all been adopted by God. God is your parent, your protector, your healer, your provider, your strength. And that God looks at you as a child, a dearly loved, God's beloved child. The Pope says, your earthly father is not a pattern for God's fatherhood, but God is meant to be the pattern and an example of what a father is meant to be. Do you know what I pray for more than anything else? More than I pray for you as a people of faith, more than us as a congregation, as a pastor, as a preacher, as a husband, as a son, what I pray for more than anything else is that God will make me the best dad I can be. And I recognize that I need to pray every day because there are many times and many ways that I fall short. And I say, God, if I can get just one role right today, let it be this one. Let it be this one so that through my life I can paint a picture for my kids of your love. And so I pray every day that God will make me the best dad that I can be. Our Father, Jesus said, who art in heaven. Now, next week, we're going to talk more about this understanding of what heaven is like, what the heavens are like. We'll look at Matthew's gospel, which is a major theme in Matthew's gospel. In fact, he talks about heaven and heavens 82 times, which is more than the other three gospels combined. We're going to look at the line next week that says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. But for now, all I want to say is that when Jesus talks about this intimacy that we can know with God, Abba, that he is saying that the God of the universe, of heaven and earth, who rules over all of creation, is yet as close to you as your next breath. That we are talking not just about intimacy with God, but also God's eminence, that God is that near to us. Be as close as our next breath. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Now, I want to talk just a moment about that and invite us to think about what that might mean. Because, let's be honest, that's not a phrase that we often use. Hallowed be thy name. In fact, what does that even mean? Hallow, of course, is the word that means to make holy, to be revered, to recognize as sacred. It's a word, it's a phrase of deep respect. And so when God says, now, when we pray to God and say, hallowed be thy name, we are saying, God, hallow your name. Make holy your name. Uphold the holiness of your name. Really, we're saying a couple things. The first is we're praying that God will hallow God's name above our names. Let your name be hallowed rather than mine, God. You see, we grow up wanting our name to be hallowed. We want people to say nice things about us. Parents and teachers and people, we want everyone to think that we're cool and hip and popular. And let's be honest, that doesn't stop when we grow old. We still want people to think highly of us, to speak well of us. We want our names to be hallowed. In fact, we spend so much time, we spend so much energy trying to hallow our name, and so it's important for us to pause each week and to pray, God, may your name be hallowed instead of mine. It's a way of saying, God, I am yielding my ego to you. We are told in Scripture to humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and God will lift you up, and in many ways, that's what we pray. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, it's important for us to remember what Harry Emerson Fosdick, the great preacher and theologian of the last century, he served for many years as the pastor and the preacher at Riverside Church in New York. He said, when you pray, you aren't trying to change God's mind. When you pray, you are shaping and forming your own heart. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are asking God to shape our hearts in a position of humility before God. Now, some of you may be wondering, isn't God's name already hallowed? Hasn't God already taken care of that? Doesn't everyone already know that God's name is holy and sacred? And I would say no. Not everyone knows that. You know, one of the best pieces of advice that someone gave me when I first went into ministry is that when you do a wedding and then go to the reception, always stand by the shrimp. Because inevitably what's going to happen is there's going to be a long line of people that come up and tell you why they don't go to church. And you're going to have to listen to them. And it might as well be good to stand next to the shrimp so that you have something good to eat while these people tell you why they don't go to church anymore. Do you know, church, the number one reason that people tell me that they don't go to church? When I talk to atheists and agnostics, the main reason that they don't believe in God? It's because all too often people of faith that they have known, who confess and proclaim to worship and to follow God, but yet whose lives are much less than godly. They look at the example that we set, the name that we claim, but yet live lives that fall short. Do you remember what Gandhi once said? I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. You see, humans, people of faith, we profane God's name every day in the way that we fall short. And sometimes it happens in big, tragic ways, and sometimes it's in small, seemingly insignificant ways. But yet when we pray, hallowed be your name, O God, we are asking God, help me through my life make your name holy. that the way that I live may bring glory and honor to you, so that others may know of your goodness and your grace and your love. Let my life point to the holiness of your name. You see, we either profane God's name or we hallow God's name with the way that we live. And so this week, I want to invite you to ask yourself, as you pray the Lord's Prayer every day, how does your life, how do your words, your actions, the way that you drive, the way that you interact with your coworkers, your friends at school, in big ways and in small ways, am I, in the way that I live my life, am I hallowing God's name, or am I making it profane? Lord, teach us to pray, the disciples said. And Jesus says, pray this way. Our Father, a God who loves us relentlessly and fiercely, who art in heaven, the creator of the universe, who is near to us as our next breath. Hallowed be your name. May this be God's call to you, to us, to hallow God's name with the way we live and move and have our being. Amen.
So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are or where you come from or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.